Who knows? If you make me angry, then probably, yeah.
Oh, shit. Ah! No, probably. Why would I make you angry, Chris?
I don't know. I just said it.
I don't know. I just said it. Okay.
It's just as a possibility, that's all.
Is that alright?
Maybe if you didn't want me to get angry, then you could have just said all no anger things. This is
radical. Okay, let me welcome you. Hi, Roz.
Hi, Matt.
Welcome to Wombat Radio. Do you want to tell people...
Wombat Radio.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
Because we're underground, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I only just thought about that the other day. Do you want to tell people what... The question that I ask everybody is, mm-hmm. What are you busy with?
What am I busy with?
Yeah.
Oh, many things.
Yeah.
Mostly thoughts, probably.
Mm.
I think.
How do you be busy with your thoughts?
Well, I've recently started writing every morning.
Whoa. Yeah. Tell us about that.
And, well, I feel like it helps to order my thoughts. And also, I guess, just instead of them being like a mush in the ether of my mind, they kind of like filter through a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Become linear.
And become linear.
Yeah.
Although, yes, still quite...
Mush.
But somewhat more linear than what they were before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I feel like I've been doing a bit of thinking about thinking, which is also fun. And, yeah, so I feel like that kind of starts the day. And then whatever I do, well, there's always something physical because it makes me happy and brings me joy.
Mm.
If there's nothing physical, then I'm a stuck body and stuck mind in my body.
Mm.
So that's always something that happens. At the moment, it's yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Which I like because you're thinking about the body doing the same thing every day, but so much changes, and that I like that thinking.
Mm.
Mm. And then I guess pondering whatever I'm stressed about, or worried about, or anxious about.
And is that usually creative things, or is that usually life logistical things?
A bit of both. I guess it depends whatever's pressing.
Mm, so it's about the urgency, not the importance.
Yeah, definitely. Time is, yes.
Yeah.
And then probably thinking about the things that I should think about also, which is quite funny.
That's pretty meta.
Yeah.
More like worrying about the things you should be thinking about. No.
Or, no, I would say it's like trying to think about it. Like, for instance, I need a title for a work. Mm-hmm. And a show.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two titles already. And so I feel like I do a lot of like thinking about that, or just the thinking about what the titles are.
Mm.
And that's...
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be easier if there was a... If you were writing a song and you could just take a lyric from the middle of the chorus and make it your title.
Yeah, maybe I should just do that.
Is there any singing in your work, in your dance piece or your...
Oh, I feel like it's singing that no one else hears.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that. Like you're singing in your mind when you're dancing it?
Yeah, but also there's singing that happens in the process of creating the work, which changes everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I feel like also singing your thoughts is a really great thing to do, I've realized, because it makes it like more relaxing to understand what they are. It's not so like, ah! It's like, a bit calm, more like an ocean,
like a lullaby.
Lulling myself into submission. Yeah, maybe I'm actually just trying to hypnotize myself.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, and then, well, I guess generally, well, I've been teaching a lot, so then that probably happens. And then there's always, that's quite interesting because it's like a bit of a, you know, multitasking thoughts of like critical, manage, wait, critical thoughts of what's happening,
mm.
then like the thoughts in the situation, the mm-hmm. thoughts in which you're heading, like mm-hmm. the direction the class is heading. Yeah, so much to take in. Yeah, and then I guess then the evening I've been thinking about ways that you can nourish yourself. It's also quite important in terms of like what activities can you do that, like, I guess they're meditations in a way, all of the activities that I'm seeking, but like what things can I do to occupy myself, to like give my brain a rest, and also like maybe activities that are not like intellectual or like don't require 100% of my focus. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I would give you an example, like drawing or painting my nails, or I don't know. What else have I been doing? Decorating my phone, putting pictures on a wall. I don't know, like really, like, I don't know, I guess they're kind of creative tasks, but like also not serious creative tasks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Not career oriented.
Yeah. Yeah.
Creative tasks.
Yeah.
Mm. Wow. Wow. So much going on.
I know.
What about your film that we just finished shooting? How do you feel about that?
I don't know. Because I've realized too that when I make things, I need to see them.
Mm.
Yeah. Seeing, yeah, visual is really important for me. I can't. It's like a two-way conversation. I need to do it to understand it and feel what it is, but then also see it. So I don't really know what it is yet. Because I think I still see what's in my mind, not
right.
What's been taken. So hopefully the two match up perfectly and magic will happen.
Great. How many things have you made this year?
So many things, Matt.
Like 8? 12?
I don't know. Are we talking dance works or like
I don't know.
Life works?
It's the thought that I just had because it's the idea of always churning out a finished product, and that all creative activity culminates in one of those products.
Oh, well, I've just decided that performances don't have to exist on a stage. I perform, like, quite a lot using Instagram.
Like, in video or just, like, you're performing your life?
Well, both. I mean, I think my gold obsession is performance.
Yeah. Uh-huh. In that it is...
Oh, it's a performance whenever I'm wearing my, like, lemon dress, gold shoes, gold bag, gold drink bottle, gold earrings, gold jewellery, gold nail polish.
It's the antithesis of the Melbourne All Black.
Yeah, but look. It's like, I'm a shining beacon of gold.
So it's about subtlety then, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
Blending in.
Definitely. Blending in. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, that question's quite hard. Because I feel like I've just gotten excited about maybe not being precious with the idea of making. Yeah. Like, even just something as simple as, like, I don't know, just, like, the clothes that you wear from day to day being a performance. Or a creative work. Yeah, on my phone cover. It used to be all shiny and gold, but it's fading now. Yeah, so it's really, it's a nice way to be, because I feel like it's taking creativity less seriously means that you just do it as opposed to like worry about it.
And prejudge it. Yeah.
And also, I kind of feel like by just doing, that's where the cool stuff, like, I guess it's like by just producing like an awful amount of quantity, it's like the possibilities of something good coming up are more likely than if you're like holding on to this one idea and you're like, oh, it's good and I'm just gonna really think about it and like find the good thing in it, as opposed to just like doing heaps of stuff and then being like, oh yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I think I don't want to make work. I don't want to make things that are just movement works, if that makes sense.
If it makes sense to you, that's fine.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe there's always movement involved, but...
But that's how you understand work. Things, isn't it? Yeah. You understand things through movement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
And what's the big, like... So, when I think about making lots all the time, I think about little things. But if you were going to make a big thing, what would be the big thing that you would make?
It'd have to be a grand idea, wouldn't it?
No, maybe not. Maybe
no, I don't think it would.
The idea is just a water slide, or like where you put the tarp down and the suds, but you make it 3 kilometres long. That's still big.
Yeah, well, I feel like this application that I'm writing...
Yeah.
It's, yeah, you have to have like an ambitious idea.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, that's scary in itself. Because what? Suddenly I'm like, what? I have to make a full length work? And then I was like, but that's someone else's idea of an ambitious idea. That's not my idea of something that's ambitious.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So maybe ambition is just based on your own current fear of inadequacy. Whatever you don't know if you could pull off,
that is
ambitious to you.
Yes.
But to somebody else. Open heart surgery.
I was like, oh, well, then that sucks, because suddenly what I think is a risk is not a risk. But maybe I just won't worry about that. And just...
Yeah. And risky is different to risque. You don't want to put in a risque application.
Oh, well, you don't know. Maybe I do.
It's true. I support you in it.
Yeah. I don't know, though. I feel like... what was the question? Making a big work.
Well, yeah, like the ambition. I think we're trying to lock down ambition. If it is not somebody else's idea of ambition.
Yeah, well, I don't really feel like I'm going to be there for like another couple of years.
Oh, let's hope not. What would you do after that?
Oh, just make it again, but different. And then everyone would be like, oh, Ross, she's stale.
She's so stale.
Does the same stuff again and again and again.
Doing that same shit since the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel like that's pretty far away, which I guess is comforting in a way. Because I don't have to worry about not getting there because it's, you know.
Yeah, but do you think that you have to work towards something that's that big with some kind of fever, with some kind of urgency?
Yes. Yes.
Hmm.
Yes, I feel like, I recently did a Dirty Feet residency.
Mm.
And I felt like that was really great to work with no pressure. Because, first of all, I felt like I could actually find my way of working, like an organic way of working, because I didn't have to, like, have an outcome.
Mm.
So I could just work, which was really nice to learn how to just work. Which I think I also did, like, overseas when I was at PATH by myself. And, like, kind of, I guess, working by myself. So I did lots of improv and kind of distilled, like, found all these, like, I guess... I call them, like, images, which I guess are, like, physicalities with, like, a particular intention or, like, setup.
Mm.
And then in the Dirty Feet thing residency, I tried these things out on a group and kind of got, you know... a certain way with these little structures. And towards the end, I felt like I started to understand, like, the dramaturgy of these things and how then you can manipulate a sense of time, like, not only like time in the body as in like how slow or fast you, like an immediate sense of time, but like I don't know what you'd call it, like not an accumulative sense of time, but like a broader...
Yeah, like a...
like a macro version.
Experienced, like an experiential way of time.
For
the viewer. You're talking about the viewer? Yeah.
Yeah. And like... yeah, so I kind of feel like it was really cool because I found these things that are really like detailed in the body and super specific. Then I've kind of put them in space in ways that I like them. And then I feel like I've, like, cracked open this window of being able to see, like, how I can, like, manipulate time in that kind of situation. which is really exciting because I feel like I need to like do more because there's something like, you know, there's more ahead of me, which is really exciting.
Yeah.
And that's only for like a tiny little bit. And then I can imagine once you've got a few of these bits, then you've got like a greater sense of time to think about. And yeah, I guess that maybe that's why people want to make full length work. Because like you then you're playing on a different scale.
Time scale.
But then I feel like I can only consider that because I'm really satisfied and excited about the smalling, like the origin.
Mm.
Yeah. And that's, I think, because I think I've found a clearer idea of what the origin is that I can now like start to see things forward.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like you need to begin from somewhere you don't know so that you'll
know a bit more and then don't know.
Yeah, so that you'll know a bit more. But you know a bit more because you take it out of the imagining and you manifest it physically, and then you step back and you look at what you've manifested.
Mm.
And then you know it. You don't know it before then.
Yeah, but even then I feel like your knowing of it changes all the time. Like, even when I look at the things that I've made, I still don't really know what they are. I know what I like about them.
Mm.
And, you know, like, I tried lots of experiments and I guess I know what I don't like about them.
Mm.
Or, like, when... what things don't help.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I feel like in terms of ambition, I kind of... I'd want to be at it, like... So, I feel like that progression of, like, the body, people in space, timing of, I don't know, in a smaller level than timing of a bigger work, then I feel like there's other elements I'm interested in, like, the feel of the space, or, like, an architecture of where this thing is taking place, the, like, smell of it, the light in that place, the textures of the fabric, of the costumes the dancers are wearing, like, what they look like. How's their hair, like what's their costume, but not as in like, I don't know, sequined costume dress, but like, I don't know, what's their hair, what's their makeup, what's like, are they wearing shoes, are they not wearing shoes, like what sort of people, like what era do they belong in?
Mm.
So I feel like maybe like ambition, or like my ultimate ambition would be to like create a work that has a world of all these things that I'm really happy with.
And you want the audience to notice all those things. So
because I feel like good branding, for instance, you don't notice a lot of those things, but it's because it's so subtle that you only notice the absence of them when they're not there.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's a really, like... that's going to take fucking ages to figure that out, Matt.
And by the time you figure it out, then
I'll probably be bored of it and I'll want to start again.
Yeah, and everybody else will be bored of it as well. It's basically a futile thing, a futile endeavor that you need to do. You still need to do it, even though you can see the futility from before you even begin.
Nah, but I'm really excited about it, though. I think it's really, like, it's quite something to be able to... I don't know. It's like you're a kid and you're showing someone like your first painting.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, you've had so much fun investing in it and creating it because it's like an expression of what you are now.
Mm.
And then, I don't know, I guess like the joy of being able to share that with someone else is like pretty... yeah, I think that's enough. But then maybe if people hate it, then that could also be really exciting. I think I'd love that. I think I'd love to have a really angry conversation about my work.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like if everything's gone exactly according to plan, then I would like to have those conversations. But if not everything, like if something's just a bit off, or if I'm not feeling it and then someone wants to give me feedback on it, then... my thought is that, look, that's, it's not, what you just saw is not the thing that I wanted to share with you.
Yeah.
So I can't take any of your feedback until
it is
the thing.
Well, then we'll just
have
to, like, wait until we can have, like, robots that are, like, humans to do the work so that they can just, like,
be perfect.
Do everything exactly how you want it.
No, I feel, because I don't think that I've got the best ideas. I think it's the mix. I think it's the things that I say and then the things that they do in response to those things.
Yes, definitely.
And then something else, like something about me as the viewer falling, surrendering, relinquishing to the person who is now going to take, the performer who is now going to take me through the next few minutes of my life or the next 20 seconds of my life. Somehow the care. Something like when you go to, so you're going out with somebody and they say, what do you want to eat? And you're like, you just order me what you think is the best thing here. And I feel that
you're
kind of thing at a show as well. I want...
You're looking after, like telling, you're giving away...
I've been searching and I found what I think is the best thing to order. I've found what I think is the best thing here and I want to give you that experience. And if it comes out and there's a new chef or something and it's shit, and then I'm like, that's not it.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand that.
But maybe, I don't know.
But then, I think that, like, I don't know if as a choreographer or as a maker I could watch my own work and not be so... It's very hard to let go, I think.
It is hard to let go.
And to be able to watch it with, like, the eyes of someone who is not, like, 100% invested in what they've just made. You know? Because...
Yeah, because you're invested.
Because you're invested, your vision is clouded.
Your focus. Well, yeah, it's clouded and it's too clear as well. Like, when there's a photo... Mm. Like, I heard about when super high-definition video was coming out and it was actually bad news for a lot of porn stars because their skin was too bad. And it was fine on the older, grainier standard definition, but high definition put them out of work. And it's like our high definition focus on each thing is possibly we're seeing too much of the piece, not letting it wash over us.
Yeah, which was, it was really interesting having Carly at the showing and me being like, oh, I want to do that again because it wasn't like what I wanted it to be. And she's like, no, but it's enough for people who've seen it for the first time. And I was like, yeah, that's really true.
Trying to hold on to what you fell in love with the first time that something worked. Or
just knowing that there's a better version of it. There's been a better version of it. And I know that...
Yeah.
But, I mean, I guess imagine it depends on the context, you know. Like, in a showing, it doesn't really... It doesn't matter so much.
Maybe that's when it matters the most.
No, but if it's like a first stage showing...
Mm.
And it's giving enough of a sense of the idea and what the experience is, then...
Yeah, I sometimes wonder that about food. There seems to be a food theme coming. Like...
Oh, we did so much great eating in our and 2015.
It's important.
But so, like, important!
There are some things, like if you get a flour-free cake that's still close enough to a cake to give you the idea of a cake... But if you get, like, a veggie burger, is that still a burger? Is it the idea of a burger, but it's not anymore the burger? Like, is a McDonald's
burger
actually a burger?
Does a burger have to have meat in it, though?
Like, well, this is what I'm talking about. Like, my experience of every burger I've ever had, yes.
See, I would just say a burger is, like, that particular sort of bun.
A round
bun. Yeah, and then, like, salad... A bit of sauce and
something.
Some sort of fillet.
A fillet of vegetable press.
But also
or tofu
fill
press.
And then dash it. So something is just like filling. Yeah, anyways, whatever.
Well, it's just the question I'm always wondering about, how much of an idea do you need to show for it to be the idea, to show the idea?
Well,
and
I kind of feel like you don't have to show the whole thing because people are really smart.
Yeah.
Unless, like, I don't know. I guess it depends what you're trying to do. But, like, sometimes, I don't know, quite often I think I don't want to know the whole idea. And the thing that probably makes me quite upset a lot of the time when I'm watching a show is that, or a performance or a work, is that they've told me too much. You know, they're telling me what idea I need to see or understand, as opposed to just giving me the idea and letting me have a part of it or all of it. Or
yeah. Yeah, I sometimes think that about films when they show me a close-up of, like, someone leaves for work and then they show me a close-up of them leaving something behind. And I think,
I didn't need to know that.
No, yeah. But I guess I did, but could you have shown me in a way that wasn't like a siren?
Yeah. Yes.
And a flashing light or something?
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's hard, isn't it? Because sometimes subtlety is right on the fence line of non-clarity. Like,
I think subtlety only works when it's highly detailed. You know, you have to be absolutely conscious of every decision.
Mm.
Like,
mm.
I don't know, so many times in rehearsals, we kind of had this joke of, like, the 17 centimetres of space in between the bodies, because every time we'd like, line up in a line and be like, can you just move your hand, like, 2 centimetres that way? You know, because, like, it was all really important. Like, suddenly...
Because that's the level you're making decisions on.
Yeah, it was, like, really tiny. Yeah. And, you know, things just... like the gaze and, you know, tilting the chin a particular angle and, yeah, like a super, because it was highly specific, then you could see the subtleties. Whereas, and I think then you've got to work with great dancers, because if you don't have great dancers, then it looks unclear.
Yeah.
Mm.
And do you zoom out as well, or are you always that zoomed in?
No, I zoom out. This is the thing about timing, I think, that's really exciting.
Because
once I've constructed these, like, highly choreographed, detailed situations, then suddenly my eyes can rest and see the bigger picture. And yeah, then.
Right, because the detail's not offending you.
Yeah. It's not offending.
That's what I often think.
No, but so often though, I'd process, be like, I'm sorry, we need to stop. Yeah. That's not right.
The process of, like, crafting something is about taking out all the bits that offend you.
Yeah.
When you're building yourself in the role of the viewer.
Yeah.
All of the bits that jar you that jar you out of the surrender.
The world. Because then I feel like once you zoom out a little bit, there's, like, yeah, the sense of timing that is really interesting. And I think that's kind of what I got to, like, towards the end of the 2 weeks.
Mm.
And then I got excited about that because, you know, it was, like, the next thing that little step that I'd found. And I was like, oh, yeah, this is cool. But, I felt very satisfied knowing that. It felt really like it had a high level of integrity, knowing that, like, the body was really set and it was something that I really understood. And, like, I felt like it was a really good base, like it was my little anchor in which I could then depart and sail around and find other little things to play with.
Like the Little Mermaid. Like a dingle hopper.
Yes, like a dingle hopper. I actually had the vision of, like, Jack Sparrow in the canoe, and, like, like him with a map.
Mm.
And, like, but traversing through, like, a black target, like, space.
Searching for little treasures.
Yeah. Constantly waiting.
Awesome. I'm just doing a time check for you, Roz. It's 3. I probably need to give you some footage as well, huh?
Yes, that is true.
Well, can I thank you officially on the recording?
Yeah, I guess so.
Unless, I don't know, if you've got
I feel like I should thank you for just, like, listening to me.
No. Not at all. Thank you for sharing what you're busy with. so far.
Yeah, this is good. I feel like I want to know what other people are busy doing.
Yeah.
Because these, I guess, like, I've been thinking about these thoughts a lot. And coming back to our previous conversation, articulating them in words is really hard. And also, suddenly when they're on a piece of paper and you know that they're being read by someone who isn't a dancer, then all of, you know, using words like energy and space and bodies are suddenly completely different.
Yeah. Yeah, it's different when it's a conversation because you can read the response and adjust in real time.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful about improvisation as well.
Imagination.
Yeah.
You get to see body technique.